one of the toughest things over the past year and 3 months now has been for nonprofits, because it's been difficult for them to kind of operate under the pandemic situation, and none worse probably than the Florence Food Share. And Colin Morgan is here with me now. And before we get into, I know you guys opened yesterday, but before we get into that, talk about this last year. I mean, you've still been able to serve the public, but it was a little different.
Yeah. So, you know, initially when everything was developing and we were all trying to figure out how to adapt, we unfortunately had to cut some hours. We thankfully were able to restore those quickly, but our service during the pandemic has been pre-packed boxes that we, or well, not pre-packed, packed boxes that we tailor to the client. They would come and order from our greeter out front. We pack the boxes, trying to accommodate to all their needs, and then send them out to the client's car or whatever, wherever they were at the moment. Folks come and get service from Food Share. There's a lot of aspects to it. It's not just a receiving food, although that is our primary goal. There's a social connection there. With the pandemic, we hadn't been able to get that social connection. For a lot of the clients, this may be their one social interaction that they have a month or the week. Food Share was a community oven to itself, and a lot of the folks that needed services or came in not just for the food, but they also came in for the camaraderie they'd get with the volunteers. And, you know, we tried to always keep the environment as a happy place. And with the pandemic, we weren't able to do that. We weren't able to provide that environment. It's been a real strain on a lot of our clients who really needed that to sustain themselves. And being able to open is just, it's overwhelming. The volunteers and everyone's just so happy to have us back.
Now, I don't know the answer to this, so I guess that's why you're here, so I can ask the question. Did you see distribution levels go down over the pandemic period?
It fluctuated. We saw climbs and we saw moments where there was climbs. We saw moments where there was dips, and it would fade and wane. The holidays were pretty rough. After the holidays, we saw some dips, especially when, you know, you have the stimulus checks coming out. A lot of times, what we're finding is that a lot of especially our seniors, were a stimulus check and a bump in food stamps away from being completely okay, being able to, you know, to sustain and be fine and not need our services, which, you know, it's a positive. Because we're happy that folks are doing, you know, well. We were concerned there for a bit that we were missing folks. We really made an effort to reach out to the community, especially as of late, to just make sure that if there's anyone who needs us, that they know that we're here. When the pandemic initially first happened, we had a misconception that we were overwhelmed and that we had no food on the shelves and things like that. That wasn't the case. Thankfully, with support from Food Flying County and the local community, overwhelming support from the local community, we held strong through the pandemic when it came to goods and things like that and support.
Now, as you reopen, what are your expectations, or what do you feel are going to be the challenges? Because I imagine there's still some people, especially older folks, maybe not quite ready to get out on the day-to-day thing. What are your expectations?
I think you're on the nose there. We're still providing the ability for us to pack boxes for folks. We don't want that. We don't want anyone to feel like any of the changes we're making are limiting them in any way of accessing our services. The big challenge, though, that I foresee is whenever you change, there's difficulty with the losses that you have there. Even though we're opening back up, we still have to maintain 6 feet. Everyone's still masked up. The smiles that you're missing, the ability to, the hugs that you're missing and things like that, I foresee to be a large challenge. I also think that we might see a massive rush. It might be that folks, the lack of that ability to be empowered by the shopping experience, the lack of that ability have that camaraderie might have held some folks off that really did need our services, and they just kind of made it do. Maybe they missed meals and so on. I could definitely see that we might see a massive rush. Right now, we're holding steady, though.
Now, you have been involved in the Florence Food Share since you were very young. Tell me a little bit about your journey to this position now.
So when I was 13, I met Karen Nguyen, the executive director at the time there, and got involved with the program volunteering in the warehouse. At that time, we were packing boxes like we were just recently for everyone. We were the options were more limited. It's been a growing lesson. It's been a learning lesson for all of us there as throughout the years as things have changed. Then not too long after I was there, we implemented the ability for folks to shop through the pantry like a grocery store. We saw at the time, we saw the amount of food going out the door decrease, which was a very interesting stat that we never thought we'd saw, but would see. But
do you think that people choosing their own food, they're less likely to take more than they need than what you pack?
Exactly. A thing that you commonly hear is, you know, maybe the limit on the shelf might say 2-3 cans. They'll say, I'll take just 2 because I want other people to have an option. If the shelf is bare, there are people who will pass the shelf up because they're like, I want to make sure that the next person has an option. The generosity from people is just incredible when they're shopping through the pantry, and it definitely warms your heart.
Now, do you think your longevity with the Florence Food Share has helped you plan for the future of what's going to be happening? Since you saw it come from, you know, the packing boxes to opening the shelves, you saw limited selection to a more advanced selection or more extensive selection. Do you see it continuing to grow in ways like that?
Yeah, I see a lot of opportunities, especially as technology develops for better outreach and better communication. I see a lot of opportunities for us to continue to tailor our services to better meet folks' need. When I first started, the focus was just getting through that initial emergency. As I've gone through, and it's something I'm really passionate about, is education. And not implying that folks don't already have the smarts to do it. It's just that even myself, I don't look at food always and see the amazing meal that maybe split peas can generate or what have you. There's a lot of opportunities there to help share nutritional information with folks, like Mary Shaw and her group coming in and doing cooking demonstrations. They did it before the pandemic, and unfortunately at the current moment we're not able to facilitate that. But I think a more focused approach on communicating some of these rare, unique items. I think that there's a lot of opportunities to share knowledge about maybe not frequently used items or items that we see on a day-to-day basis and they seem mundane, and there's opportunities to make amazing meals out of those items. And I think communicating more of that is always helpful for everyone.
Well, one of the things you mentioned was split peas. I mean, you get 2 bags of split peas and a couple ham hocks, and I can be set. I will eat that stuff every day for a week, a split pea soup. I mean, it's just delicious, and it's not that hard to make. It's not that difficult, and it tastes wonderful.
So, and extremely nutritious.
And extremely nutritious, yeah. Yes. So I totally understand that. I totally get that. The community, obviously, is very generous here, but we also have, you know, like members of the community, number one, they're finding it difficult place to find a place to live, for one thing. There's younger people that are working in the food industry or the service industry. Are you seeing any of those people take advantage of the food share, or is it generally older folks? Is it a mix?
It's a mix. I like to avoid take advantage. I like to focus on utilize services.
Okay.
It's a mix. This last year, we saw a 200% increase in folks that have never used food share services before. These are people who've never been in a food bank or a food pantry or what have you their entire lives. That's a staggering number. That's more than we've ever seen. The recession didn't even come close to the amount of new folks that we saw this last year. Yes, I do see that. Thankfully, with thankfully with that initial boost to unemployment, that initial hit didn't happen, and we didn't see a large uptake in the service industry folks using our services then. But as folks are getting back into it, and maybe sometimes there's not as much opportunity for jobs in certain sectors, we are seeing an increase in folks that are in a working demographic using our services.
Well, I noticed during this, in fact, I know a couple of people who were not even aware of the services that FoodShare provided. And so there's, you talk about the outreach and letting people know, educating people about the abilities and the opportunities that are there. I think there's probably still some people in the community that, you know, don't know that could benefit.
Right. And that honestly keeps me up at night. I absolutely hate the thought that a family or an individual or a senior is going without a meal. We have the resources to make sure that this doesn't happen. And any way that we can spread the word, I'm all ears. We've been doing flyers, and we did radio ads and the paper. We've been trying to work really hard on getting the word out there, but we're always open for more ideas.
All right. So you opened yesterday on Tuesday, June 1st. You're now open. What are the hours of operation? When can people come by? And what do they need to bring, if anything?
Awesome question. I love that. So our hours of operation is 9:30 to 1 Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 on Mondays and Wednesdays, and then every Saturday from 10 to 1. We really pride ourselves on trying to be as available for folks as possible. The things that we need, we almost always need peanut butter, mac and cheese, your staples, of course. Also, a lot of seniors, the best way that they can get their nutrition is through protein drinks, and they're spendy. And it's difficult if you're on a really limited income and you don't have an appetite. We have a lot of clients that they just don't have an appetite, but they still need that nutrition.
Right.
And those types of supplements are super helpful. Milk and cheese and things like that are great for mom and dad to get some food on the table in the morning that might be quick and easy. Eggs, all that good stuff is great, but a big focus would be on things for seniors, and then stuff to help mom and dad get ready in the morning.
All right. Colin Morgan, thank you so much for bringing the information there. And folks can folks can utilize the opportunities there at the Florence Food Share 6 days a week.
Thank you so much for having me.
And June is in the books for this edition of Our Town. Tune in next month. We'll have more interviews and maybe a little fun, too, on Coast Radio.